This is it, what? Satoshi's pouring from the sky. Stash some chips up. No fear of missing out. I'm about to dip and flip. What? Now pump it up and double up is what we hit. What? 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 This is it, what? Satoshi's pouring from the sky. Stash some chips up. No fear of missing out. Root Soul, welcome to 21ism. Thank you so much for joining us. And for anyone who doesn't know about what you're working on, can you please just do a little bit of an introduction?
Yeah, sure. I think most people know me from the Raspberry Blitz project, which is running a Bitcoin and Lightning node on a Raspberry Pi and a do-it-yourself project, and sprung into a lot of other additional apps you can now add to this node. So it's running your own Bitcoin node is one of the main projects I'm involved. But it started from the Fulmo Lightning hack days and even the Lightning conference. That's where I'm involved in organizing mostly the hack table or the technical kind of parts. So I think this is the kind of most area I'm around and visible in the Bitcoin area.
And what was it that first grabbed your attention and brought you into Bitcoin? You can say price rise if you like.
it was the concept about the money without banks. So it started after my studies. Like I was seeing like this, I have to work for money now. And what is this money? And so I had this interest about money. So, and then you were seeing like what's going on with all the 2008 crash. And it was like, yeah, there needs to be something better. And because I was just kind of sensitive from that kind of perspective, this is where Bitcoin grabbed my attention. I think it took some time before I had time to really jump in because, sure, there's private life and stuff. So, but then I had this moment and I jumped in with a hackathon, just kind of taking a weekend, just trying to stuff out, build something, a small idea about donations. And this is where it really grabbed my attention about this, all those, this money system, this payment system also. This is why maybe was going a little bit more into the Lightning direction later on, fascinated me. And the thing, having this in a decentralized way and changing the system a bit with this, that's very powerful.
And what was that experience like, falling down the rabbit hole? Did you feel lonely when you were doing it, or did you have enough people around you who were on a similar path?
We were quite good connected. So I started with this hackathon and kind of very quickly connected to the Berlin Bitcoin scene, the people that were active at this time, and most people are still. So it was great because on one side, there were a lot of like-minded people because there was the same interest, a little bit like this hacker culture background for a lot of people, or at least technical interested. And on the other side, it was this diversity of people that really never got boring. Yeah? So let's talk this way. And so it was a great journey. It was connected with people. And after this, I kind of stuck to the kind of Berlin Bitcoin meetup scene, even that I had my short kind of departure or detour into the Dogecoin world, what was more more like a protective kind of measurement. Because at one point I was there in one of those big events at Texas Bitcoin. That was great on the one side, but on the other side, you really could see all this, the people that just wanted to make business with Bitcoin and didn't see I think they liked the underlying flavor they were seeing, but you would already see like people just, oh, this is great, this is a hype, where can I get my finger in here? And those people that care more about the scam than about the other stuff. So you could at least see those people or at least feel those people around. And this is where I was then hiding a bit in the Dogecoin world, which was also not perfect when protecting against scams. So yeah. So made my lesson and now fascinated by Lightning.
And outside of Dogecoin, any other Bitcoin horror stories from either you or your friends that you can share with us, like real life boating accidents?
Oh yeah, there's this great feature on the Trezor where you can set an extra password. So I don't know if everybody knows it. Normally you set up your Trezor, you get your words to recover, but then you can add an extra password that will, with every password you put in, it kind of puts you onto new wallet pass. And if you don't have this password, you don't have access to those funds anymore. And
oh no.
It was like I have all the words here, so But what was this? Which one was this password? I wanted to be too secure here. So.
Oh no!
Because I liked it very much because it has this feature. Because it's so nice, you can if somebody robs you, you can put in another password and have some small Bitcoin there amount or something, and say, look, this is what everything I have. Please take it from me, sir. And then you have the other stuff safe under the other password. I like that idea, but really make sure to remember the password.
Good tip. That's a great tip.
Yeah. Take something maybe that you're very used to and not try to be too smart.
Yeah. And so once you'd gone through the horror stories and you'd got out of Doge and all of this stuff and you really went down the Bitcoin rabbit hole, what was it that got you involved in the Raspberry Blitz project? It's a fantastic project. I love what you guys are doing. And like I said to you before, I'm yet to set one up, but it looks so cool and everyone raves about it. How did it come about?
It really developed from our decision to do the hack days, so the lightning hack days, and the decision to learn together with the community what this lightning can do. And when we planned the first event, the first hack day in Berlin, Germany, we were saying, come on, we need, first of all, people should bring nodes, and so that we can see what does it take to run a node. Do you need a big computer? Can you do it in a smaller thing? And also there is this Raspberry Blitz tutorial, the Raspberry Bolt from Staticus, that already a lot of people were starting to building nodes on Raspberry Pis. So we're like, come on, let's buy some Raspberry Pis and then just try to do the tutorial there and see how far we get. And then on the first hack day, it was nice because a lot of people had interest, and then we started to do this. And yeah, we're not even finishing syncing the blockchain after the second day. So at least we were starting copying stuff, and then we're seeing, oh, this is USB 2, this is a small so all the stuff was like eating our time to get this finished. So I think that the tutorial was great, or is still great from Staticus if you really want to do it step by step. But there was the idea to make it maybe a little bit more convenient or more easier to set up a node on a Raspberry Pi. And this is then where we kind of just put the tutorial, the little lines into scripts. And so this is why this whole project is built on Bash script, most of the scripts. And this kind of developed from there. And at one point I was seeing this problem with people setting it up, what is my IP, and we really it was like, okay, now I have to look it up here, and we didn't. So, and we were just going, why not a screen? And I was seeing this little nice screen on Amazon, and was saying, let's try this out. This doesn't look this hard. And and so step by step it developed from there. So this is the original story why we started it, to make it easier for us to have those on the hack days, and then make it easy for people to add their projects to it so that we can play them with it, and just everybody can bring it to the events or exchange it online about it. And we have this, if you run it yourself, you have a better understanding. And that was the kind of basic idea behind it.
That sounds amazing. And this is why 21ism has chosen you as our dev. You are the first dev that we've had on here. Ooh. And we love we love what you're doing. And what I thought for this interview was, me, I'm not massively technical. I try my best, but you know, really, I don't know what the hell I'm talking about. So I have Bitcoin Q&A joining us on this interview to make me sound a little bit better, make me sound like I know what I'm talking about, and ask some questions to dig a little bit deeper into the technicals. So Bitcoin Q&A, can you take over and ask the next question, please?
Absolutely, yeah. I'm not going to get too technical too quickly. First question for you, Rootsol, is what advice would you give to somebody who doesn't currently run a node that is looking to start taking that next step? What would the first piece of advice give to them?
Mm-hmm. I think the first advice, or at least question this person should ask, is what kind of person I am, and how much time do I have to spend on it. Maybe this changes afterwards, but if you're more coming from this consumer kind of perspective, so if you're more Peter McCormick kind of guy, then maybe really start with something that really tries to pick you up very, very on your level. Like I think the Umbrella now with the web UI is doing a great job there, reducing, hiding all the complexity from you, just try to make it very simple. And already the My Node is even, I think, also reaching this goal quite good because it picks you up with a web browser and really tries to hide the kind of complexity behind the cute QI. Which is great because such node projects are needed. And I think for if you're more like that kind of person, maybe really start with such a project. But if you really know maybe from yourself, even if you're maybe not a programmer, but you're a person that really likes to tinker and get a little bit, likes to have the possibility to quickly get under the hood of something, and then maybe the Raspberry Blitz is a project for you to choose. So this is a kind of, when you're coming from a do-it-yourself culture, definitely check out the Raspberry Blitz. So it's so this is the kind of maybe first question if people ask which direction, because you have to choose a project, the thing, this is maybe the first question that people ask themselves. And then also ask yourself a bit like what is maybe your goal. Maybe even that's changing in the end, but if it's really just to run it, if you want to become a good routing node in the network, that's something different than just running your own Bitcoin node, maybe a small Lightning node for yourself and an Electrum server to have more privacy on your hardware wallet transactions. So there is a little bit different kind of journeys you can take, but sure, you can also jump between them. Most of the projects try to give you big variety there.
Yeah, I think that's great advice. Like you say, there's quite a lot of things to consider before taking the plunge in and diving into the whole node space. So let's say somebody's they've asked themselves them questions. They've decided to go for the Blitz. They're a bit of a tinkerer, or you know, they just want to get stuck in. What are the common pitfalls that people would make that you see from the support groups that they generally tend to make when they're getting set up with a Blitz?
Mm-hmm. So the basic two ones are kind of stable power and kind of data stability. So this is why the first kind of lesson is even that the Raspberry Blitz invites you as a do-it-yourself project to build it from parts. We really recommend that you try to stick as close to the chopping list that we have online and kind of where all the single parts are very important, to have a stable power supply and also to have the hard drive, the SSD close to that model that we recommend, because even if you go into the same SSD but take it a bigger one, it could mean that it takes more power and maybe then kind of makes it unstable from the power kind of side. So those are having reliable hardware and have the hardware very close to what we recommend is something I think is the kind of first pitfall you can fall into, especially on if you just choose your old power supply that you have lying around and then just plug it into those setup of the Raspberry Blitz. Then this, maybe the second part then to look into is to make sure that you have your backup credentials right and at least in a good secure way. So for sure, make sure to keep your written down words in a safe place. And the other thing that you need is the static channel backup file. That's normally already saved on the SD card and the hard drive by default, but also have a better backup to have the last version makes it possible to connect an additional small USB thumb drive to it and have it storing there again the file, but also have it storing it outside your location, like with a remote place, like on Dropbox. It's definitely recommended, even if Dropbox doesn't sound like the most trustworthy place. The script is the file is encrypted with your seed words, so as long as you don't store your seed words on the Dropbox, it's safe to use. And the benefit that you get is, even if you're complete, say your place gets flooded or burned down, if you have the seed words and the static channel backup in a remote location, then you can have very good chances to recover your funds.
Yeah. Great advice, especially around the whole hardware piece. I've certainly come a cropper with some various USB 2 and 3 issues with Raspberry 4. So yeah, great advice. Since you've started working on the Raspberry Blitz project, what's been the hardest add-on to get up and running?
I think we had this phase when the Raspberry Pi 4 came out. We had a lot of experimentation how to get this stable because it was very it was getting very hot in the and so we then started to go with a fan to cool it and then made the experience that having a moving part in that setup is a journey you really want to choose because this is a mechanical thing that spins can really make problems like getting loud and just getting annoying or we even have sometimes just dropped that because there had one Raspberry Pi Raspberry Blitz I was maintaining and it was finding a dead fly in there so there is really stuff that can happen and all this or even the dust situation then can get problematic. So figuring that out, getting away from this moving fan again, especially because it even made strange problems. We were kind of try to figure out why and thanks to OpenOMS this is he really figured out a lot there so we get rid of the fan again. So I think this journey was at least from the hardware kind of situation something that took us some time to get right, and I think at the moment we're quite happy with the heatsink case that we have. This was on the hardware side. On the software side, it's really like really now seeing that we have a lot of moving parts because, again, the Raspberry Blitz tries to be a very open community-based project. So people are very, very happy that people contribute to the project. But then, of course, you have a lot of moving pieces and just to try to keep them together, at least as a constant kind of journey we're on. But I think at least we try our best there. But really getting used to having all those different setups, that's definitely something that's took a lot of time to really get used to it. And I hope we reached a quite good level there.
Yeah, I think when you've got a node implementation that's as feature-packed as Raspberry Blitz, I'm sure there's every single add-on causes many, many headaches there. So, yeah, kudos to you and the team for keeping it all so locked down and working so well together. Last one from me, Rootsol, would be if you could wave a magic wand and sort of steal another feature from another node implementation or come up with a completely new one and just get it implemented into Raspberry Blitz, what would that be?
I think definitely the web UI. So because we had this in mind for a longer time because people are used to use the browser. And again, like I was telling, like the people that coming a little bit more from the consumer perspective, they want to have something neat and a little bit complexity hidden. But this didn't felt right in the past because we want to have this openness and when people have with SSH, that was great, and gives you all the possibilities to tinker. But having a web UI is definitely something I would like to have a magic wand and just make boom, and it's on there. And this is why I looked a little bit closer at the Umbrel project that really seems to make a very, very great job in coming from this kind of design first perspective, and this is something maybe not impossible to take parts of this UI of the dashboard kind of world. Maybe we have to redo something on the backend side, but this looks at least interesting. So if I can make a friendly wish, I wish the Umbrel programmers would be very happy, even if the Raspberry Blitz would have some parts of this and maybe contributes back in the future. Let's see. We'll have to to see there if this is something that people like and also the programmer team likes.
Yeah, for sure. I think the web UI will probably be a big selling point for particularly for, like you say, those users that are not so technical, especially now that, you know, the world's going increasingly mobile. I think if that web UI was accessible on people's mobile phones as well, it'd probably make things a lot easier for people wanting to get on board and run a node. So yeah, that's been great, Rootsol. Thank you very much. I'll hand it back over to Max now.
Thanks for asking those more technical questions, and now back to the basic questions from me. I'm going to have to put you on the spot a little bit here, Rootsol, because we're trying to keep these interviews shorter than what I'm used to. Yeah. So I'm going to do a bit of rapid fire for you here and put you on the spot.
All right, let's go.
What's the most contrarian view you hold?
That I think that next to Bitcoin, there will be local currencies and kind of social money that maybe even work in extremely more with inflation, but can make something real like a universal basic income or something. Because a lot of people just think there is this just this one world without money and it will rain all and will swipe away all the other stuff. But I think there it opened up the opportunity for having other money experiments, and we will see those.
And do you think these things will all be digital?
You think most of them. I think that's something once people get used to digital money, especially like having Bitcoin as a also as an option, I think it doesn't make sense. It makes sense. You can be so much flexible now with digital tools and apps, and think this is something we will see more. Yeah.
And what, if anything, do you see could possibly destroy Bitcoin?
It's maybe again the now the Wall Street kind of creeping in a little bit more, and people and those guys are used to take control of what they kind of own, or at least think they own, and the and we will see some attempts there, and we have to watch out that the economical. There's a good article from Statikers, like running a full node is important, and we need to run economical. Full nodes that have some economical power. And the good message is there are a lot of smaller nodes together can sum up at least against the bigger like Coinbase running nodes and Amazon running nodes and Google running nodes and Apple running nodes, whatever we have in the future there. So that's something to look out for. And this is why I think a lot of people like also to train and to do running a node.
Excellent advice. Yeah, completely agree. Everyone who's listening, let's run a node, get a Raspberry Blitz running, and keep these dirty weasels out and from trying to control Bitcoin.
Yeah. But just to let you everybody know, it's not that important that you run a node every time. So because that's something really to run something from your home is not for everybody. But to be able to understand what it takes to run your own node, so when the time comes that you're maybe possible to do this, and maybe then provide a little bit. This is definitely training is very important.
If you could speak to Satoshi, I gave you 1 hour. In a pub, just you and him, a couple of pints, share a packet of crisps. What would you say to him?
Well, first of all, of course, thank you. So this is such a selfless act that we're seeing, the donating something, and even then not touching those Satoshi coins that are on there. So it's very, very rare. Thank you for that. So the more details, maybe I would be very interested in his view on the energy consumption question, because I think a lot of Bitcoiners very easily weasel out of there. And it was one of the first questions even Hal Finney was asking, like, we have to talk about this energy consumption thing and how it maybe can have to do with the CO2 problem and maybe add to it. And I know there's a lot of, I like discussing this at least. And from Satoshi, I would like to hear if he had in mind what we were seeing now with the mining industry.
Interesting. Yeah, it's a big question that comes up a lot. To my mind, I think it's been answered, and I think it's been answered pretty well, but it's a complex rabbit hole, and I'm not sure I fully understand it. And it'd be fascinating to hear what he had to say about that. Good question. If I'm ever if I ever find myself in a pub with him, I'm going to be stealing that one from you. What's your top 5 books you've ever read?
There's from the top of my mind, there is some good books from Eric Fromm or some good Harari thing books. I really like those. There's a lot of stuff there. Good science fiction, Lem Asimov, of course. Maybe one in particular I really liked was the KLF, the manual. I don't know if you know it. It's about the guys that did the KLF, and they wrote a book like the manual, how to do a number one hit. So it's really a manual you can follow. And I really like the spirit in there. It's like no respect for the industry and just get going and do it. It's like cyberpunks write code. It's like music punks write music. Like it's so we really like the attitude there. So KLF, very interesting band. So they're definitely a good book. And yeah, and at the moment I try to have this debt the first 5,000 years on my table from David Graeber. I didn't know him before, but I think he died recently and came up in my timeline, and a lot of people I respect recommended his books. So definitely something to read on now.
Okay, great. I'll check that one out. How, if at all, has Bitcoin changed you?
That's good. I think on a on a social level, it was a very interesting journey because, as you can see, I'm kind of with all these events we're doing and the meetups, I kind of even I'm normally a little bit more kind of a nerdy person, not too much, but at least also like to be a lot by myself and so a lot. So meeting all those different people was is really interesting. I think it changed a lot in my perspective to have a broader view, and also on the tolerance level, it added a lot to at least to be able to handle some views that I was very strange maybe to me before. So this is definitely a journey that you can learn a lot from the Bitcoin scene to even if it doesn't seem to in the beginning, maybe. But there's a lot of diversity there in different mindsets and why people are there and what they're thinking about the world. And that's very interesting. And I think it definitely there's some imprint there. Yeah,
it is amazing. I think whether people like to admit it or not, it does change all of us to some degree. And it's such a powerful force when you really get involved with it, and I think it really flips your mind on a lot of issues, and I think that's amazing. You know, people say Bitcoin will change you more than you change it, and I completely agree.
Yeah, definitely it's a journey.
Yeah, for sure. All right, we're coming up to time now. It's been amazing talking to you. I love what you're doing, and it's great to have you as our first dev. So thank you for taking the time to speak to me and to Bitcoin Q&A. But before we close out, I would like to finish on you giving me your best 1-minute elevator pitch.
Oh, okay. In the end, it's like everybody knows, not your keys, not your Bitcoin. But I really like to add to this, not your node, not your rules. So yeah, this is something to think about, maybe to expand a little bit this pitch line.
Brilliant. All right. Thank you so much for joining me. As I say, it's been an absolute pleasure. And I'll be reaching out to you in the background once I try and set up my Raspberry and it all goes wrong. So we'll be speaking again soon. Any final words from you, Bitcoin Q&A?
No, I'd just like to say to Rootsol, on behalf of myself and probably the rest of the community, just a big thank you. You know, I've got huge respect for everybody that's in the trenches building stuff to push this whole space forward. So yeah, just a big thank you to Rootsol, and you keep doing what you do. It is appreciated.
Thanks.
Any final words, Rootsol?
I'm quite good, but maybe if you want to check out the Raspberry Blitz project, the raspberryblitz.org, or just search Raspberry Blitz on the search engine, and you should find it on the GitHub page, and enjoy the journey from there.
Amazing. Thanks for everything you do, and we'll speak again soon.
All right, bye-bye.
It's all a matter of your perspective. You can look at this and say, hey, this is going to be an extremely concerning and terrible, devastating. Dude, flip that on its head. Start telling yourself you're going to crush this. And start doing whatever you got to do in order to get as smart as you can and leverage the opportunity that's being presented to you.